meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. How are you doing, Tony?
Hey, Father.
Nick over there? Without the mask?
Exactly.
What gives?
It's a handsome-looking man without the mask.
Why not? A sudden change. Okay,
it's too hot, probably.
That's okay. He's always gonna come over anyway. Did you have a nice Independence Day?
It was
quite sad, really.
It was sad.
Here in Chicago. For sure.
Well, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
We need an explanation.
I don't mean to interrupt you guys.
That's okay.
It's easier this way. Without the mask on, I figured because you know. You guys aren't wearing it around here a lot more,
right.
And also trying to get more off of it. I'm still wearing it at some places,
but
still trying to get off of it. And I was at the store yesterday with my mom, and she was saying that she doesn't wear it as much anymore either. So I didn't wear it when I was in the Walmart yesterday either. So trying to get, off of it a little bit more.
No, it's good. It's good to see your face, actually.
It's like a drug. You have to get off of it.
Right.
The mask.
But that's what I got right there for you.
Very good.
Answer this way.
I barely recognized him today.
Yeah, right. Who's the guy over there? So, anyway, very good, Nick. Let's pray, Nick.
Yes.
Nick. Well, yeah, you're
let's
Tony.
Pray.
You're Tony, right?
I'll be Nick for a day.
Okay. Let's pray, and then there's a lot to talk about the strange world we're living in.
Yeah.
And very sad. Really, we want to. In fact, let us offer prayers for. Well, they're the victims of the. On one hand, it's this horrific disaster in Highland Park, which is just for those who don't live in Chicago, it's just north, right?
It's north,
north of
us,
Chicago, a suburb.
Yeah.
But it's not just there; it's everywhere. It's the city. I think 11, apart from the six or seven who died, and the 30 people that were wounded. Yesterday at the Independence Day Parade in Highland Park. In Chicago proper, I believe I heard this morning, 11 people died.
Yeah.
I forget how many others were wounded, but something like 65, I think. Maybe
11 is a good number. Usually it's a lot more.
Yeah.
So it's like...
So sad. And the stuff that was done to police... The police officers.
And this is funny. I've been thinking about this. I'm not shocked, but it's amazing how in moments of silence you can see how all the pieces fit together.
Yeah.
And I really think there's no real solution for this unless you start respecting the police again. Because now there's no respect, and it's more so... It's a free-for-all.
I think, we have to respect... the beginning of... The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Exactly.
If we don't stop this mass apostasy, this going away from God, away from the discipline of our faith, the commandments of God, then we're not going to see any... As I was saying on... I think I said Sunday, and I mentioned again yesterday, it's really... we get the God, and we'll talk about this today. The gospel, the harvest is plenty, laborers are few. Pray to the Master that He send laborers into the harvest. God, Almighty God, please raise up in our midst saints. We need saints. We need saints who counter, who can truly inspire others to come away from the darkness, to come away from the disorder, come away from the narcissism, the selfishness, the egocentric, the blatant evil in our face all the time, to come away from that and into the light. I think that the more and more we see, the more and more we hear, the more and more perhaps the silent majority, I would hope it's a silent majority, begins to, on one hand, wake up, because I think we've seen, you know, well, an awakening that says, you know, I cannot be silent. Or let's just say this, people who understand the need for the church's discipline, understand the need to fulfill the commandments, but are not in the discipline nor fulfilling the commandments, perhaps awakening to the fact that, you know what, I better get my life right with God and do something to counter this diabolical disorientation, which, and I have to say, yesterday I watched a number of these pop stars, these music people, music gurus, if you want to call it, I don't know, I can't even name their names, I don't know who they are, but these are, I saw so many examples of this on YouTube, or gone to a few sites, or a site that really exposed a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, our American people in Great Britain, two concerts there, huge concerts. Here in the United States, in Texas, there was a big concert, somewhere else. And these people stoking the crowd, we're talking about, it looked like 100,000 people, young people. The F word, F America. I say F America, F the Supreme Court, and they chime in. This chorus of F America. Talk about evil. Evil. I mean, blatant evil. And then you've got the violence. You got the violence. Why would there not be so much violence when you've got that kind of... The mayor of Chicago. The mayor of Chicago. The same thing. What did you... F... Justice Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In a public forum. This is the mayor of Chicago.
Well, these are the people that are always saying we're doing it for the children, or we're doing it for, substitute anything you want to put in there. And they're the first ones.
Children?
But I'm saying they always use that. Or for whatever group they're trying to appease,
it's
but
sickening. I'm sorry.
I mean, where's
for the
example?
Children? What do you mean for the children?
But you know what I mean. They just use any kind of
right
part of their agenda is for the betterment of the community, or betterment of the children, or betterment of the whatever. Substitute any group. That's what I think is the problem.
Yeah,
everything is a group.
So the complete perversion of the Declaration of Independence. Our unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, how that has been completely perverted so that it means something that it was never intended to mean.
Is that not what the evil one does?
Yeah, of course.
Perverts everything.
Yeah, so the more we experience this mass apostasy, this going away from God and the laws of God, then let me just say, the nation has no future, or maybe a future, but it'll be not anything that we knew as we were growing up. It's already so radically changed. If God doesn't manifest himself, if there's not an awakening to truth, get over yourselves, people. Again, I've said it many times, but the breeding of narcissism and the complete lack of regard for God and the laws of God. There was this one guy, Harry Sykes. Is that, are you familiar with him? Harry Sykes?
Harry Styles?
Harry Styles, yeah.
He dresses in women clothes.
Right, right. I listened to a little bit of his commentary, you know, and he is a proclaimed atheist. I mean, evidently the young people are really flocking to him.
That's who I would go to because he has all the answers.
There's a great a bit of idolatry going on all over the nation with these pop stars, these music gurus, whatever. And
see, all these people really just disgust me. If people would stop paying.
It is disgusting. That's the thing. It is disgusting.
For this, they would all learn to shut up.
But he said, he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God. There's nothing above us. He says, it's we, the people. It's all about us. And this is the problem. But the sad reality is that the young people, unless, you know, their parents heroically are able to somehow safeguard them from the current culture or lack of culture, what's become of our civilization. What I was reading yesterday, actually, that two-thirds of Generation Z, whatever generation, I don't know who are we putting in that category. It must be the younger generation. Two-thirds know nothing of Independence Day.
I can believe it.
Nothing of Independence Day. Oh. In fact, 12%, let's see, what is it? 12%, I believe it was. No, I'm sorry.
2%?
One in three, Generation Z, Gen Zers, think July 4th celebrates America's independence from the Native Americans.
I can believe that.
We need to pray.
Yes, we need to
pray. And we pray, let's offer this prayer for all those who have suffered this horrible tragedy in Highland Park and throughout the city of Chicago and throughout the nation. But certainly Chicago is notoriously known now as the Wild West, right?
Always has been.
It's unbelievable. Very, very sad. Very sad. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most holy and blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we stand. Before thee we come, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petition, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, everybody, I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change.
Ever been to a Civil War reenactment? Booming cannons, rifle volleys, and lots of talk about history. Hi, I'm Father Tom Coyes, and I want to invite you to a Civil War reenactment. Check out historicstjames.org for information. Come to St. James at Sag Bridge in Lamont, Saturday, July 23rd, As Bishop Varroa of Virginia squares off with Bishop Purcell of Cincinnati, you'll be transported back to the 1860s to see two Catholic bishops deliver authentic Civil War era sermons about the War of Northern Aggression. Old Abe himself will be your host. Admission is free, but Lincoln's hat will be passed to help maintain this historic church. Burgers will be available for purchase before the play at 5 p.m. Visit historicstjames.org. See you on the 23rd at 7 p.m. And don't forget to check your musket at the door.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. The two Tonys here in maskless Nicholas. Maskless
Avenger.
Maskless Nicholas. Yes, yesterday was Independence Day. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One must understand that the foundation, the understanding, the point and the person of reference is Almighty God and the law of God, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. As one of the founding fathers said, that our nation is the Constitution, the Declaration, these are written for a religious people. I mentioned on Sunday the words of, so I'll take a Democrat and a Republican here, okay? So President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, who said, "Ask not what your nation can do for you, but what you can do for your nation." The implication here is that make sacrifice. Our love is sacrificial. Christian love is sacrificial love. In order to safeguard freedom so that we live reasonably as a free people, we must bind ourselves to the Ten Commandments. In fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, we bring this up over and over. We have to keep repeating this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when those laws were given, laws that Jesus says, "I come not to get rid of." He says nothing. Jesus says nothing of this will go away. These laws are binding on all people for all time. Not a period, not a comma, not a colon will be taken from these laws. He's speaking about the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and he brings us, Jesus, even beyond that into a life of high virtue. But when those laws were given, and really this is the natural law. This is a law written into the hearts of all people, not just the people chosen, taken it from among others, brought into a covenant, into an alliance with God. From this covenant, from this this nation, the Messiah would come, and the covenant would be then universal and eternal, but still bound to the Decalogue, to the laws of God. But when those laws were given, Moses, the spokesperson for God, said that fulfill these laws, obey these laws, love the law, teach them to your children, drill them into your children. In fact, it says drill them into your children. Write them on the doorpost, on your wrist, on your forehead. In other words, never take your attention away from these laws, the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And he says, you do this, and you will prove yourselves to be a wise, an intelligent, a knowledgeable, a dignified, a noble, a grace-filled people. You will be the envy of all nations. That has been, so this written into the Declaration that we are endowed by Almighty God, the Creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have, because of the mass apostasy, this arrogant going away from God. And see, the thing is, we're made by God for God, and the laws are written into our hearts, so we know what we're doing. But we don't want the discipline. We don't want the commandments. It goes back to Genesis, right? Mm-hmm. I will not serve. I will not serve. I will be my own God. But nobody is their own God, because we decide what gods we're going to adhere to. And the gods that say, you know, you can do anything you want. And this is the whole perversion of the Declaration. And it's really, it's right here in the book of the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. I think it just, in a very succinct way, it says everything. St. Paul says, this is chapter 5 of his letter to the Galatians, for you were called for freedom, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. But do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, rather serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Even that's been perverted by those who apostate, those who have gone away from God. And that's where they burden us with, they try to burden us with guilt, that if we don't allow them to do whatever they want, if we deprive them of their happiness, then we are, if we rain on their parade, then we are, we're the bigots, hateful,
yeah.
Living with all kinds of phobias, because we don't allow them the free rein of the flesh. In a word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor, you're gonna bring your neighbor truth, the truth that will set them free. In other words, you can't just go about and do as you please. You can't, Jesus said to Peter, you know, even when you were young, you went about, you did as you pleased. Now another will come and strap you against you, will take you where you'd rather not go. Because you're cleaving to me, you're adhering to me, you're going to be hated, you're going to be rejected, you're going to have trouble, you're going to be persecuted. Well, you know what? You're going to be martyred. And so St. Paul goes on to say, but if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. Again, I think of the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, you know, was it the Gay Pride Day, the day of the parade?
I think so.
That she's shouting to the masses, F,
Clarence
F,
Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
So you're in office.
This is the mayor of the city of Chicago, and we wonder why Chicago is notorious for. I mean, we're not safe in the streets of our own city.
These people don't care anymore.
They don't care. So I say then, St. Paul says, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, when he says not under the law, he means, they were talking about the laws of like circumcision, and there's 600 and some laws,
right,
in the Old Covenant. But Jesus purifies the laws, but the laws that stand binding on all people for all time are the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, the call to live a life of high virtue, which means we're living in the realm of the Spirit, or under the influence of the Holy Spirit, possessed by the Spirit of God. Now, for the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Okay, that law, those 600 plus. But yes, you're bound to the commandments, the Decalogue. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. So listen to this, people. The works of the flesh are obvious. If we're not under the Spirit of God, Like St. Paul says, you give free rein to the flesh of its nature will lust against the spirit. And this is what you're going to find. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds. Hatreds, that singer in Texas who was parading around on the stage before, looked like 50 plus thousand people. Or was it another? It was no. It was another. They're all saying the same thing. F America, F the Supreme Court, and we hate you. They literally say, "We hate you," and everybody repeat, "We hate you."
Wow.
All you have to do is just download it. You'll see it. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Rivalry, jealousy, outburst of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. I mean, you look at the people doing this. Is it twerking?
Twerking.
Twerking. On the top of police cars. Emboldened to do that. And to throw fireworks into the police cars of the Chicago police.
Wow. I'm glad I stayed away.
Did you know about it?
No, I
that happened.
Yesterday, I just was listening to what was going on in Highland Park.
Yeah.
And then just barely that, I had to turn it off. I stayed away from the TV. I stayed away from everything.
I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control.
Self-control.
Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envious of one another. I mean, where have we come? It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty obvious. And again, my hope is that the silent majority, people who are really trying to live a decent life, good life. Like I said, you know, did I say it now? I was talking to somebody this morning about this, but I think perhaps most people value the church's discipline and the commandments of God, though they may not be living that discipline, though they may not be obedient to those commandments. They believe in God, value God, but it just seems like, you know, we can put God on the back burner. We'll deal with that later. But my hope and prayer is that with all this stuff that is blatantly in our face, that because I did talk to a gentleman this morning who said, you know, it made him realize that he was a Catholic but not really living his Catholic faith. And it's just when Jesus says, you know, okay, and I say this is today in this time, in our time, he's saying, okay, you better declare yourself, okay? Things are pretty bad. The battle lines are really drawn, very blatant. You're with me or you're against me. You're hot, you're cold. If you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Declare yourself. Are you with Christ? Because if you're not with Christ, you're with the Antichrist. The Antichrist. And this nation will not... Mark my words, everybody. Please mark my words. The nation will not survive if we do not experience in a dramatic way a complete change of heart, a metanoia. That's going to be, I can't even see how it can happen because of the power of the media, because of social media, because of the politicians, many of the politicians we have, because those who are not believers, I mean truly believers, those who claim to be Catholic, and I say quite frankly, I have to say, you know, the president of the United States, don't use your Catholicism to justify behavior or legislation that really is the antithesis of life.
Yep.
You know, be bold, be prophetic, lose yourself. You know, think about your salvation and the salvation of the people you're governing. The same thing with Nancy Pelosi. Mayor Lightfoot, I don't know where she stands, religiously speaking.
I don't think she knows where she stands.
But to make a public display of that kind of rhetoric or that kind of anger, and calling for the F-U to the Supreme Court Clarence Justice.
Now, you know, I wonder.
I'm Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thompson. I really wonder sometimes. And I, again, I don't know much about this Highland shooting, but I've been thinking about it and thinking about it. I wonder really, you know, for people that start jumping up and talking about a gun, I wonder if these people that are not or hanging on to whatever kind of sanity that they are not influenced by what the mayor of Chicago says or the president says or anyone, you know, that's... Well, spouts this stuff.
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things because I'm thinking, you know, what I heard this quote from Blaise Pascal, and I can't remember word for word, mm-hmm. but he said that lawless music was the downfall of Athens. Lawless music. And I was listening to this commentary on in this commentary, this was brought up, and that, you know, for 70 years, what kind of music have we been listening to? And, you know, this the rap music and mm-hmm. you take what's the violence in music, and the immorality, in the lyrics, and you listen, and then you think about these kids that are. Or even adults who are into these violent games. The games. Or you look at the violence in the cinema. You look at the overt lack of morality. You know, the free reign of the flesh. I was saying Sunday, you know, the sexual revolution really opened the door, the Pandora's box. And then, of course, in fact, I just happened to see this. Going to be a bit, controversial, but I mean, this is where, you know, so I was looking at a previous letter that I had written. Mm-hmm. This was when the Supreme Court redefined marriage as the law of the nation. And again, this is a Pandora's box. And this is where I'm saying, you know, people were so obsessed with sexuality or sex that this was just, let's say the sexual revolution of the late 60s, contraception, again, the free reign of the flesh, which eventually leads to the redefinition of marriage. And I was reading a letter that I had written, but the Supreme Court decision to redefine marriage as a law of the nation and the subsequent celebrations which saw the White House, if you remember, beautifully aglow with the colors of the rainbow flag, and millions of people of every age gleefully lining the streets of the nation for a display of anything goes, marks an era of independence for the nation. At long last, liberation from the binding force of Christianity has been achieved. The United States can breathe more freely now. The tyranny of Christianity has been dealt a blow from which the church should not be allowed to recover. The nation is free now from the Christian indoctrination of the young in laws that restrict their personal pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. You know, it took 219 years for the nation to evolve, but at long last the goal is achieved. Let the symbols of tyranny be banned from the land. Let the stars and stripes of the American flag be burned and buried for having bound the nation under one God. Let us raise high the colors of the rainbow flag as a symbol of liberation from all gender distinctions and all other barriers to the free exercise of personal wants and desires. To the applause of many, such independence was evident in the rainbow parade as some of the parade participants donned mockingly the religious garb of bishops, priests, and nuns. Ding dong, the church is dead. The church is dead. The church is dead. Ding dong. The merry o. Sing it high. Sing it low. Let them know, the church is really dead.
Wow.
The United States of America has entered a new era of independence, having liberated itself from the laws of God, The conscience of the nation is appeased and free to choose its path forward. The choice has been made. The nation has exchanged the truth of God for a lie and revered and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. The land of the brave and the free is no longer brave nor free. It's an illusion. With the exception of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord, and John, who alone remained faithful to the Lord on the Via Dolorosa, all the apostles of the Lord were martyred. The nefarious agenda of activists to redefine marriage, which was just, and this, I'm going back, okay? Mm-hmm. But think of all that's happened since then, and what's happening right now. The nefarious agenda of activists to redefine marriage should compel the church to defend unambiguously the full counsel of God, mercifully and lovingly, but with the full weight of truth. The end result will leave us further maligned and marginalized. As a nation cowardly enslaves itself in the reign of the flesh, Christianity may become anew the faith of the brave and the free. And we heed the solemn charge of St. Paul to those who remain faithful to God. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. But you be self-possessed in all circumstances, put up with hardship, perform the work of a disciple, fulfill your service in the Lord. As Pope Benedict challenged us during his papacy, the church must exercise her prophetic office. The nation must know that the prophetic utterance of God is among us. As a result, people will take offense. For this we will suffer. And so be it. Redefinition of marriage was a Pandora's box that has opened us to this time in which we're living, where I'm listening to this. As a priest, I'm telling you, as a priest, I listen to this all the time. How many families are struggling because their young daughter, and really, this is, by the way, and as I say this, I heard it even just this morning, that 35% of women, before it was 5%, now 35% of women, young women, do not espouse, strictly speaking, heterosexuality. That seems bizarre, but yet it's not bizarre. As I'm listening to these families whose young daughters, adolescence is a difficult time as you're trying to navigate through, you know, your own bodily changes and sexuality coming alive and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of these young girls are afraid of what's happening to them as they're maturing into womanhood. And now the green light has been given. If you don't want to be a woman, you don't have to be a woman. And there was, speaking of this guy, who was it? Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
He was banned from Twitter.
Yeah, I heard
you about that. Because of who was this? This is a Canadian woman who, very attractive woman.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Who's morphed into a man?
Yeah. Elliot Page.
Yeah, Elliot Page. Right. Formerly Ellen Page.
Yes.
It is just beyond bizarre. And but the problem is, you know, I was listening to an interview with that she had with one of these talk hosts.
I'm sorry, he.
And you listen to that and your heart goes out to these people.
Yeah.
So it's but What are we doing? And so you've got these young girls, the boys too, but I'm hearing more and more of the girls, and the parents are telling me, what do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do? Even if the family, they're living their Catholicism, which, by the way, the faith is not about feelings. It's a discipline. It's the commandments of God. It's the sacraments of the church, all to help us to stay on this narrow path, mm-hmm. and to live according to this God of order, mm-hmm. who is broken into a disordered world, saved us, redeemed us, and as God says of Himself, I am a demanding God. Again, who wants to be told what to do? Nobody wants to be told what to do. But see, before when we were kids, it was like you just didn't you just knew what was socially acceptable, and you understood that you had to make this, you had to work through these things, you had to make the sacrifice, you had to. Today it's completely different.
Speak of being told what to do or not to do. I'm reading a story, and I'm paying attention. I'm trying to understand what I'm reading, and I'm realizing they're talking about they, them. These pronouns.
Can you try to follow that?
Yeah, and I'm trying to follow it.
Really?
And then after a while, I'm starting to say, wait a minute, who's they, who's them? And then it dawns on me what it is.
Yeah.
And I stop midway and say, I'm done with this. I can't continue reading this.
It's very difficult.
It is so idiotic to force people to do this.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
And I'm trying to be sympathetic, but I don't understand how someone could insist that if you don't speak this way, I cancel you.
Cancel. Yeah. Yeah, 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 outright. And, canceling on one hand, in one way, but it based on the rhetoric that you hear from these people, it seems like, we're going to be canceled. We're going to be martyred.
Yeah.
It really isn't beyond... you'd think this is crazy thinking, but it seems not. When you, I can't imagine. It's shocking to me, to be honest. It's shocking to me that people, women, men, but these. I'm going back to these pop singers. What do you call them? Pop singers or whatever?
I call them garbage.
But
sorry
that they can stand up there and with no. Shame, or even what the mayor of Chicago did.
Well, the mayor goes home every night, protected by a bunch of security. So I guess in a way, you can get up and say whatever you want if you feel that this is where people are going, which is amazing because I know it's not easy being a president, a congressman, a senator. It's not. But if you go into a situation where I know you have no, what is it, character, or you can be bought one way or the other, you're not worth being there.
It's a whole an ideological shift that has taken place.
Yeah.
Away from, again, the creator. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If we don't understand that, based on the natural law, which is the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, written into our hearts, the truth, if we have no regard for that law, but we give free rein to the flesh, then again, one feels justified in standing up there as the mayor did and effing, calling people to repeat after her, F Clarence Thomas, the Supreme
Justice. I
wonder
if I did that. If I got up and said F the mayor, where would I end up?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You'd probably be ended up doing a GoFundMe to get me out of prison. I'll be in prison for years.
It's beyond crazy. No right reasoning, no civil discourse, no regard for biological science.
Only when it suits whatever you're trying to say. I've noticed that. We talk about science when it means keeping your mask on or you know, this is going to do what I tell you. But, you know, when you look at other things, no, it only works for one thing, not the other.
Well, so, you know, the question is, how do we as Christians, as Catholics, even because, you know, the divide in the nation is a divide that's in the church as well. Yeah, and we're struggling to hold on to. I mean, you know, let me just say this. You know, I get reprimanded because I was celebrating Mass ad orientem, as was done up until 60 years ago. And I defend this tradition, and I'm not going to go into it right now. But I was reprimanded, even though I acted in obedience and said, okay, I sought permission to continue ad orientem after the Holy Father came down on the extraordinary form, which we don't do, but I was doing ad orientem because I was following the wise teachings of Pope Benedict and Cardinal Sara and many others. And all of a sudden, you know, this is not proper, we can't do this, and you have to get permission from your bishop. And so I sought permission, and I was told, no, you can't do this. You've got to stop this. And so I said, okay, I will act in obedience, but I raise questions, some legitimate questions, in a kind way. I thought it was in a very kind questions. Way. And I was reprimanded.
Do what I tell
and
you.
And put into a 10-day retreat to reflect on my priesthood. And yet, just kitty corner from here, St. Stanislaus Kostka, on the other side of the expressway at Old St. Patrick's on Father's Day, two men in a civil marriage, a man married to man, have adopted two children, two daughters. They're giving the homily, which isn't permitted, but giving a homily on Father's Day. And there seems to be no backlash with regards to that. So, I mean, is it proper, is it fair to those of us who are struggling to hold to the faith in an out-of-season time, in an inconvenient time, to keep the Mass certainly sacred and to keep the focus on the sacred mystery unfolding on the altar of sacrifice, our encounter with God, that all of us can recommit to this covenant and offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship, and receive Jesus in Holy Communion in order to, as Jesus says, I send you as lambs in the midst of wolves. That was the gospel last Sunday. I'm sending you as, the harvest is plenty, labors are few. So ask the harvest master to bring labors into the harvest. And so I send you as lambs in the midst of wolves. So we're being eaten up, we're being beaten down, we're being reprimanded because we're adhering to the faith of our ancestors, the faith that has been handed down to us by the apostles, coming from Jesus Christ, the consistency of Catholic teaching, and all of a sudden we're in this place, in this space, in this time when it just seems like the powers and principalities are just coming down on us in a powerful, powerful way, and we're being punished if you get the point that I'm trying to make. So when these kinds of things are permitted that are diametrically opposed, nothing against these two men. Just as much as I have nothing against Ellen
Page,
Elliot who
Page.
Is now Elliot.
They them.
I think it's they them. But where is their humility?
They don't need it.
That says, you know, maybe I better look a little bit higher, a little bit deeper, and think, what are the consequences? What are the ramifications of my wanting to do my thing with no regard for what has been handed down to us, what is really within the realm of right reason, within the realm of safeguarding civilization, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the family, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of life. I mean, it's appalling to me that these women with such anger and violent rhetoric can defend themselves against or in favor of the elimination or the extermination of a child. And first of all, how is this child conceived? See, then it brings us back to the whole question of the free reign of the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, is when a man, woman, when they come together, they conceive. When those two bodies come together in the act of sex, man and a woman, it results in the conception of life, a child. So rather than, maybe we should be thinking about, you know, I've been bringing this up more and more, you know, but what about the virtue of chastity? What about the virtue of virginity? But then again, you know, as I'm talking, you know, I'm thinking, you know, as I heard this morning, 35% of women don't espouse heterosexuality, but that's a big number. If that's the case, I mean, what is the future of our nation? What is the future of our? You see, all this stuff is just it's well, we're out of time now, but it's just so much in your face that you just wonder, what's it going to take? How do we fight the good fight? How do we, as we're being sent as lambs in the midst of wolves, because really that's what it feels like, we're lambs in the midst of wolves, how do we fight the good fight? And I was saying on Sunday, you know, it's like Jesus says, you know, if you give peace, always peace.
Yeah.
And if your peace is not, if people don't accept you, just shake the dust from your feet and move on. So we just have to live with integrity, live deeply our faith, be who we are, who we've been baptized as to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We obey His commandments. We're in the discipline. We're sinners. We fall. We pick ourselves up. We seek reconciliation. We renew our covenant with the Lord over and over, day after day, day after day. But we don't lose our sensitivity for God, for the laws of God, for the ways of life. And, you know, let us give witness. So, as I said Sunday, and I'll conclude with this, because, you know, blessing, let it just roll off our tongues, you know, wishing God's blessing upon those who really do despise us, really do hate us, really basically are saying, F you, you know, who believe in God, who espouse the discipline of the faith and the commandments of God, F you. That's what they're saying. And so we, you know, we shake the dust from our feet, you know, peace be with you. God bless you. Wherever you go, whomever you encounter as you leave, wish them God's blessing. Leave peace. Leave peace. Live the faith, because people are going to hit rock bottom. And when they do, they're going to all of a sudden have to face the reality within them, and that's God's law, and that's God's presence. And they're going to have to make a decision, and hopefully in humility. In humility, they'll put their hand in the hand of God and be lifted out of the darkness and into the light. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God, bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter ourselves. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.